Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
You are listening to the Social Network Show. Welcome. This is your host, Jane Kawaski. I'm an experimental psychologist with an interest in online connections and networking, and Jim Nico, the founder and CEO of Social Network Intermedia, joins me today. And we are coming to you from the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Welcome. Today we're going to be speaking with Dori Clark, author of Reinventing You, Define Your Brand, Imagine Your Future, soon to be coming out in French, if you would prefer. Her marketing strategy clients include Google, Fidelity, Microsoft, Yale University, Morgan Stanley, and the World Bank. She has appeared in the media, including NPR, BBC, MSNBC, and she blogs for Harvard Business Review, as well as the Owner Magazine, Forbes, and the National Center for Middle Market from Ohio State, and American Express Open Forum. Well, I'm very happy to be welcoming you back again, Dori.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Dori, it's like right now in the world of our world, the social network world nucleus, if you will, I keep hearing your name over and over about branding and rebranding. And the interesting thing is everyone wants to learn from Dori. I mean, recently, as you know, We were in touch with NAB. We've been invited back to NAB. And even though Dr. J and I were interviewed by Connected Media World at the National Association of Broadcasters last year, and we know that you were interviewed there at the dawn of your new book, which I hope you get into how many languages it's in now, everyone wants to know what Dori knows and how it can help them. And so we're so honored to have you back and on the Dori Clark series on the Social Network Show. Dr. J.
Great to be here.
One of the first things you have people do in reinventing you is to do somewhat of an inventory to see what where they're at now, what they perceive their brand to be, which is how others perceive them. And, you know, I was wondering about looking at some of those steps with women who are returning to work after some time off, whether to rear a family or for whatever reason, or maybe changing careers. But particularly if one has been out of the workforce for a while, how could they adapt this to identify the skills that they have gained in the past decades and repackage them for the next stage in their life?
Yeah, this is such an important question because there's been a lot of interesting research done, in particular by the Center for Talent Innovation and Sylvia Ann Hewlett, about the question of women returning to the workforce. And what she and some of her various books, such as On Ramps and Off Ramps, has written about is the fact that for a lot of women who take time off, in particular to have a family, they, you know, at the outset have their own sort of goal in mind that, you know, maybe they'll take 2 years off, 3 years off, something like that. And it turns out that breaking back into the workforce, even after that short of a period of time, can be very challenging and more challenging than they might have anticipated. And so at that point, if they don't re-enter the workforce and it becomes, you know, a few more years, then you get a situation where there have been technological innovations that have taken place, and then you get a skills gap, because if you haven't been in the workforce for a decade, people are doing things differently. You know, we've moved from faxes to email and from email to Twitter, and so you have to then close the gap and convince other people that you have closed that gap. So this is really crucial, because if we want to tap the full power and potential of the U.S. labor force, we need to be finding ways to make it easier for women who want to get back in the workforce to be able to do so. So I think it's a really important talent issue and equal opportunity issue. And a lot of it starts with personal branding, because you need to be able to tell a story about your skills and how you've been spending your time and what you can contribute when you re-enter the workforce.
To those listeners that are tuning into the ideas of Dori Clark on the Dori Clark series on the Social Network Show, let me give you one example, just one example of how powerful this book is and how powerful Dori's message is to the world. The book, again, Reinventing You, Define Your Brand, Imagine Your Future by Dori Clark. It's available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon, etc. Sasadi Nico, my daughter, and she is a networking strategist, now becoming a social networking strategist. Of all the people we've talked to over the last 2 years, in context that we've talked to, people from MIT, Columbia, Harvard, Oxford, and on, strategists of all ilk and shape and form, here's what she said to me. Dad, you know that Christmas present you didn't get me? Well, no problem. What I really want more than anything else is the book Reinventing You by Dori Clark. This is the book she wants. And only after I had described what Dori said, not even the actual perfectly written words, and listening to Dori on our show. So that's how powerful Reinventing You is by Dori Clark. And I hope everybody gets this book. We have it with us all the time. You know, luncheons, dinners, suppers. Okay. All right.
Back to the person who is re-entering. Now, those you mentioned, Sylvia Ann Hewlett, On Ramps is one book and Off Ramps is another?
It's one book.
It's either
On Ramps and Off Ramps, or Off Ramps and On Ramps.
Okay.
I forget which comes first, but it's one book and it's a good book.
The narrative, like you say, it's been important for people to be able to explain themselves in a way, let people know what they've been doing. How do you recommend that if, a person has been primarily a homemaker, perhaps? What kind of spin would you suggest?
Well, I think one of the first things that I would suggest, if you are planning to re-enter the workforce and you have, sort of a time horizon, even if you're planning to enter it, not immediately, but maybe a year from now or a couple of years from now, is to make sure that there is some sort of activity that you're participating in outside the home, which can be sort of an anchor on your resume. It could be a volunteer activity, it could be PTA, it could be serving on the board of a charity, whatever it is. It doesn't even have to be that time intensive, but it serves a couple of purposes. One is that, unfortunately, there's plenty of people in corporate life who, particularly if they have not experienced it themselves, they may have this idea of being a homemaker, that equals sitting around and eating bonbons. And so you need to have something on there that can serve as a defense against that, to say, well, it's not that I've been shut up for the past 3 years and not talking to anyone and not doing anything other than watching Barney. I've been interacting with the world. Here's how I've been doing it. I've been serving on this board. I've been making a difference, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one important thing. The other thing that's useful is that, particularly if it has been a longer period, I will say 3 years or more, you do want to find some way to demonstrate, other than just you saying, I know how to do that, that you have kept up with the changes in business and technology. And so if you can show that, yes, you were the chair of the social committee, the chair of the social media outreach committee for your local chapter of the Red Cross or something like that, then you have demonstrable proof that you were able to do this, or, what have you. So that's particularly useful.
This is kind of from left field, but I just thought of it. I didn't want to leave it out. Basically, I've just started writing for LinkedIn, and I was wondering if you would just think about maybe how we could expand that message in a post that I write after we do the show, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it is a very important message to get the word out on.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
The other piece that I just wanted to make sure to mention as well, as we think about narrative, is that oftentimes if someone has taken time out of the workforce, there's a tendency for them to be a little apologetic about it. That, you know, well, yeah, I haven't been in the workforce for a few years, but I'm sure I can keep up. And, you know, it's this whole thing about, well, you know, I've just been doing this. I've just been raising my kids, or I've just been caring for my sick parents, or whatever. And I think that what we need to do first and foremost is to wipe away that sense of apology. You don't need to apologize for it. You need to own your narrative. And so it's perfectly legitimate to make career choices that involve taking time outside of the paid workforce for a while. If you're applying for a job, at least in the U.S., what employers are looking for is confidence plus competence. And if you are lacking on one of those dimensions, it's going to raise questions for them. And so, you know, one piece of the narrative is that you want to explain your skills and what you can bring, and, you know, how the things that you've been doing over the past couple of years really do add value or have added to your skills. But the other piece that's equally important is to have a sense of confidence about it, that, you know, you're not kind of coming in with your tail between your legs, that you know, have this attitude that, well, of course I'm less qualified than these other people that have been in the workforce the last few years. You need to own your narrative and feel comfortable talking about yourself.
Okay, let's go into some details on that as far as confidence and competence, how building your competence or keeping that up can certainly help your level of confidence, and we'll go into that on our next segment.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Jim Nico here with my favorite book on moving ahead with your life, no matter what, how long, or where you might have taken a little detour. It's called Reinventing You by Dori Clark. Define your brand, imagine your future. And there is a new book in the horizon, but I cannot wriggle the title or any foreshadowing out of our esteemed guest, Dori Clark. Welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So, Dori, you were telling us that confidence is so important, and we don't need to apologize for the life choices or the things that we have that have taken us out of the job market for maybe up to 3 years, or maybe even more than 3 years. It's interesting that you mentioned that as kind of a point at which you need to really gear up in terms of technology, for instance. But what would you recommend as far as building that confidence and reclaiming that competence?
Yeah, I think that for the confidence piece of it, it can be it can be a challenge because we're not necessarily encouraged, and you know this is particularly the case for women. We're not necessarily encouraged to have a really assertively confident mindset in many occasions, but you know that's really what is necessary for success in the work world, and so you have to be very deliberate about it, and you have to own it. And I think that the first step really is kind of, you know, as they say, recognizing the problem, which is that if you feel like you are starting from a deficit in your job search, you know, meaning, oh, these other people are more qualified than I am, oh, I'm going to have so much explaining to do, and they're going to be skeptical of me because I've taken time off, then you are going to be going into it with an attitude that, you know, frankly, that people can pick up on, you know? I mean, this is like our animal sense. We're like dogs sniffing the air, and we can sniff it when someone is afraid or when someone is ashamed or embarrassed or, you know, lacking confidence. And we need to eradicate traces of that. And so this is one where I'd say, you know, maybe the antidote is doing something like watching Amy Cuddy's TED Talk, where she talks about the power of body language to not just persuade other people that you're more confident that you are, but also the power of body language to make yourself feel more confident than you presently feel. That you can essentially trick your brain into feeling more confident by leveraging the power of deploying body language that exudes confidence. I think that's totally something worth trying in those circumstances.
That's right. And I've got that research article that was based on. I'll have to look that up and post it because it has been demonstrated that simply by taking a more confident posture, you actually feel more confident.
In clinical terms, even in recovery terms, and now in reinvention terms, it seems like one of the words that you just hit on, which we flew over in a way, is deliberate. And I think it's a brilliant choice of words in this context for two reasons. There are many scenarios in life, as we know, from people that have been hurt, are coming back from any kind of real deficit in the sense that maybe they're, let's say, limited in their abilities now or whatever. I think that reaching that deliberate platform beyond being a reactor, being an actor, and then being a deliberate actor, very powerful, brilliant choice of words, because a lot of people come off, and I think this is the other thing, oh, as you use the word, oh, well, I've been out of the workforce for a while, oh, well, I haven't really brushed up on this. That lack of confidence stance compared to being deliberate, an actor, if you will, and that very, very important to get out of that reactor mode. You know what I mean? In other words, anticipating what you may say as a result of questions you may be asked in a job that you may want.
Yes, that's exactly right. I'm a big fan in general when it comes to professional reinvention of encouraging people to really, if the goal is to want to take control of your career and to take control of your life, you do that first by taking control of your brand. You have to recognize that the way that people see you is something that you should not leave to chance. Your reputation is the most precious commodity that you have. And if you are smart about your career, you need to take the time to exert thought and control over the messages that are getting disseminated. And, you know, of course, we can't perfectly control what other people think of us, but you can make sure that you are sending the right messages through the actions that you take. And when people embrace that viewpoint, when they embrace the power that they actually have, when they own it, that can have very important ramifications for their professional lives.
What do you think of the idea of temp work, if a temporary work in the sense of, well, there's all kinds of accountants, for example, there's temp positions. In terms of getting into a social situation where you can practice those confidence moves?
Yeah, I think that if you are planning to transition full-time back into the workforce and a temp position presents itself, that can be a good way of getting back on the horse and firming up your skills and firming up your confidence about what it takes to be back in professional life. I think it's also nice because you may, for yourself and for your own reasons, want to test drive something with a short-term engagement. And so whether it's literally, you know, something that's brokered by a temp agency, or maybe you even say, you know what, I want to do a sort of short-term kind of micro internship or something like that. I mean, you know, that's the kind of thing that you could create or broker on your own. And it may be very useful to you to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to try it for 2 weeks and I'm just going to see how it works. And particularly if you still have some obligations that you need to do, you know, caregiving obligations, et cetera, it can give you an opportunity to see what's working well and where the holes are that you need to fill in order to be able to successfully accept a full-time job.
And many of those agencies also have training programs for technology. That's what made me think of this when you mentioned technology, because that there are, and of course there are many tutorials online too that one can, it depends on your learning style. You know, if you're the type that wants to have someone sitting next to you or in the classroom, that's what you should look for, but a lot of people like to just go at their own pace, and there's a ton of tutorials. Just once you know what types of things that your dream job would demand, it's something you can look into.
Dory, are there any new examples of feedback? We know you've been traveling around the world, talking about your book and talking about reinventing you in real time, real people that really need this information. Are there any new stories, feedback, how this has helped people, your work and your book, et cetera?
Well, it's a very kind question to ask, Jim. And actually, one thing that was very fun and gratifying for me just a couple of days ago was I had the opportunity to do a webinar for the University of Massachusetts, Boston. And as part of this webinar, I gave a presentation about reinventing you. But in addition to that, we had a couple of special guest stars, and they were people who were readers of Reinventing You who had applied the book and were talking about how it had benefited them and how they had used it in their own lives. And so we had a guy named Mark Weber who lives in Minnesota and reinvented himself using the principles of the book, from being a newspaper publisher to being he's now the executive director of a community foundation. And we had a guy named Blair Hughes from Brisbane, Australia, who, bless his heart, got up at 3 a.m. in Australia to be on this webinar. And he talked about how he reinvented himself from being a teacher to getting a job in the sports industry. And so it was really fantastic to hear their stories about how the book had been useful to them.
And for people who are rejoining the workforce, that I don't think we can emphasize enough how important it is to give real thought and consideration to where is it that you really want to end up. And in your chapters on interviewing your friends and family and colleagues, people who have known you a long time, and asking for their honest feedback. Where can you see me working? What do you think I am strong at? What do you think I'm not so strong at? That taking that time before spending hours on a search or months or a long time to find a job, make sure it's the right one or a right one. I don't think there's just one, but and I think that's where the reinvention comes in very handy too, just to know that we're looking for what we're going to be, we have at least a good chance of being happy at.
And reinventing, yes. reinventing you from the perspective of someone who wants to change jobs, get a job, or even create a job in this world, there's never been more opportunity in the sense that it, you can go out and theoretically you could, or even practically speaking, build a company on the internet at very little cost. And if you had the principles in this book, Reinventing You by Dori Clark, you up the odds of being able to succeed in this new, brave new world of social networks and social media. Thank you, Dori, for coming on the show again. The Dori Clark series is a number one favorite, and it's going out around the world, and hopefully it'll be going out in other languages soon.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.